Today I want to give a very different kind of message. I normally take a passage of Scripture and I pick it apart, I explain it, I explain all the grammar, I explain all the history behind it. Today I just want to reference a couple of Scriptures, and then we're going to take these Scriptures and we're going to use them in kind of a context to see if we've got some blind spots or idols and to help us get some perspective. So this message will be a little bit more prophetic than it is expository. I want to start by looking at the second and third commandments from Exodus, and then we'll briefly look at a passage in Philippians as well. Let me get the scriptures on the screen for you here. All right. Can everybody see that? I want to start by looking at Exodus 20. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It's the first, or the second and third commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. Now, the second commandment, I mean, it's obvious enough. Have no other gods before me. It seems pretty straightforward. And of course, all of us would say that, well, we don't have any other gods. I don't have any other gods. But maybe we do have some idols without realizing it. We've put some things kind of into that position of God. We've given our heart, we've given our minds, we've given our time and energy over to something else. And so it's become an idol, or it's becoming a small g god. But whatever it is, it has the effect then of pulling us away from God. These can be simple things like fear or self-focus even. Fear or a focus just on me, it begins to creep in and it becomes an idol in our life, or maybe just a blind spot. And then the third commandment here, you shall not make an idol or an image. Again, seems obvious enough. And none of us are sitting down carving a statue or making an image and then putting in front of ourselves and bowing down. We're all more sophisticated than that. But of course, this is referring to a spiritual principle. There might not be an image. We might not have a carved image or a statue or something in front of us that we're physically bowing down to. But in our hearts, in our spirits, are there things that we are giving ourselves over to? Again, giving our attention to. And that's still a type of idolatry, and it becomes a small g god. As I look at how this pandemic has been playing out, I keep asking God, so what are you doing? What are you doing in the midst of this? And I believe that one of the things God is doing is exposing idols and blind spots in the church, at least here in the U.S. But now this is also a very biblical concept. We see throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, we see times of great calamity where God uses those times of calamity to call people back to himself and to point out their idols, to point out their small g gods, to point out their blind spots. And I believe that's what God is doing even in our day, because he still has that same desire today to call us back to himself, to call us away from things that are getting in the way of our worship of him. At the beginning of 2020, a lot of people were saying that this was going to be the year of vision. I mean, it's obvious, right? 2020. God was going to give us better spiritual vision. And I think that's exactly what God is doing. He's just doing it in a way that nobody would have anticipated. Nobody would have thought that it would have looked this way. You see, in order for God to give us better vision, he first has to get rid of the things that cloud our vision. He has to get rid of the cataracts before he can give us new glasses. You see, if you've got cataracts real bad, you can get the best glasses in the world, but you'll still have cloudy vision. And so I believe that God is trying to eliminate some of those blind spots and eliminate some of those things so that we can then get the 2020 vision. And I believe that he is preparing us through this pandemic and through some of these things that are going on. He's preparing us for that better vision. Now, I want to look at one more scripture here real briefly. Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. And I think this ties back to the issue of idols. The pandemic shows us that we've not necessarily been doing a good job of living out this passage before the pandemic. And so now this is kind of bringing it to light. It's bringing it to the surface. And I think God is showing us some things in this. This passage, there's a little phrase in there that says, in humility, value others above yourselves. And I think this really hits home right now. And I think it's going to expose some things for us. Now, of course, I do see God doing lots of good things, and there are lots of good things happening. But for the sake of time, we'll put those into a separate message. And today, we're going to focus on the blind spots and idols, and then we can talk about the things that God is doing in another message. So, for today, I want to talk about some of these blind spots or idols that we may have. And again, these all existed prior to the pandemic. The pandemic is just exposing them a little bit more. So as I go through this list, pay attention to which ones the Lord might be highlighting for you. It will, of course, be different for each person. Some of these might even make you feel angry. Either angry at the injustice or angry because it's touching a blind spot. I present these not as judgment statements, but as questions for the church, the capital C church, the global church. And I also invite us each as individuals to consider where we might fall on these. Again, this is more of a prophetic kind of message. Some of these might hit you and others might be like, no, I don't even sense that for me. But as I go through these blind spots, these idols, be aware of what God might be highlighting to you, or what do you sense for the more global church? Has the church been responding well in each of these? And as we go through these, again, remember that God is inviting us to walk free from these. If he's pointing out idols and blind spots, it's because he's calling us to move past them into something better. He's calling us to be his hands and feet to the world, to represent Jesus well, and he's reminding us that he is the better option than the idol of the blind spot. So, let me go through these lists. I'm going to spend the majority or a bulk of time on the first one, and then the others I'll go through a little bit more quickly. But number one, have we made an idol or do we have a blind spot in regards to our own health? We will do anything to protect our own health, even if it puts other people's health at risk. We live in a country where we are obsessed with good health, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I think it can become idolatry when we fail to extend the same concern of health to others. Let me give you one primary example. And this isn't new to the pandemic. This is an age-old problem. I think the pandemic is exposing it. You see, every single day in the third world, I'm going to reference Mozambique specifically because I've been there and I've experienced it, but I'm talking broadly about the third world. Every single day in the third world, they face a far greater threat of contracting and dying of malaria than they will ever face from coronavirus. And yet we've never shut down the world for them. Do their lives not matter? Does their health not matter? Listen to some statistics and how sobering this is. In 2018, which is the last year we have records for, the 2019 records haven't been posted yet. In 2018, an estimated 228 million people were affected by malaria worldwide, with 405,000 deaths. Let me read that again. 228 million people had malaria, in 2018. 405,000 of them died. Six countries accounted for more than half of all malaria cases. Six countries, half of the global population of malaria cases, and they're all in Africa. Do their lives not matter? Mozambique accounts for 4% of all malaria cases globally. Just Mozambique, 4% of all malaria cases globally. And those are just the ones that we know about, because many will die in the bush and not be counted. You see, in a country like Mozambique, where healthcare is so scarce, the vast majority will just die in the bush and no one know. No one will ever know. Currently, as of Wednesday, I wrote these stats out on Wednesday, so they may have changed just slightly. But as of Wednesday, 4.2 million cases of coronavirus globally. Did you catch the difference? 4.2 million cases globally of coronavirus versus 228 million cases of malaria globally. In regards to malaria, children under 5 years old are the most vulnerable. In 2018, children accounted for 67% of all malaria deaths worldwide. There was 405,000 deaths. 67% of them were children under the age of 5. I'm sharing a picture with you of Amelia. Amelia is Amy and I's granddaughter. As some of you know, we adopted an African girl named Mia. And Mia has had a child. She's got two children, but this is her newest, Amelia. Amelia is at extremely high risk of dying from malaria. You see, here in the United States right now, we will do anything to prevent a child from dying of coronavirus. We have pulled out all the stops. But I wonder, will we make the same effort to ensure Amelia doesn't die of malaria? And you see, malaria doesn't just happen once in a while, every 100 years or so, like a pandemic. Malaria happens each and every year, year in and year out. Every single day, in every single third world country, they are faced with this constant threat of malaria. And now, here's another thing to think about, and then I'll wrap up this point. Our response to coronavirus is actually exacerbating the situation with malaria and other diseases. Here's a sobering quote. I took this quote from The Telegraph, which is a British publication, and it's an interview with a Dr. Stephen Peterson from UNICEF. It says this: the risk of children dying from malaria, pneumonia, or diarrhea in developing countries is spiraling out of control due to the pandemic and far outweighs any threat presented by the coronavirus, UNICEF has warned. In an exclusive interview with Dr. Stephen Peterson, chief of health at UNICEF, he cautioned that the blanket lockdowns imposed in many low and middle-income areas are not effective ways to control coronavirus and could have deadly repercussions. Indiscriminate lockdown measures do not have an optimal effect on the virus, he told The Telegraph. If you're asking families to stay at home in a one-room slum without food or water, that won't limit virus transmission. I'm concerned that lockdown measures have been copied between countries for lack of knowing what to do, rarely with any contextualization of the local situation, he said. One size fits no one. The objective is to slow the virus, not to lock down people. We need to lift our eyes and look at the total picture of public health, end quote. You see, my question to you is this. Why were we not more concerned with malaria before coronavirus? I mean, the difference is hundreds of millions of people. why are we going to such great measures to treat coronavirus, and yet other illnesses like malaria, cholera, tuberculosis, typhoid run rampant in the third world? And there's cures, there's vaccines, there's treatments, or there is at best the need of study of those things. And so I'm asking these questions. Did the pursuit of our own health blind us to the needs of others? Maybe. Or is it because that most of these things like malaria occur in the third world, and we tend to just not notice the third world? Even though those people who live in the third world are created in the same image of God that we are. Here's a personal connection for you. The greatest number of malaria cases globally happens in the country of Nigeria. We've had Nigerians in our church. Chi and Donald from years ago that attended, they were from Nigeria. Simon and Kelly lived in Nigeria for a while. This affects people we know. My third question is, did we simply not know what to do, and so we did nothing? Again, I'm speaking to the church. Did we as the church, as the people of God, simply not know how to go about dealing with something like this, and so we just did nothing? Either way, whichever option, whichever question, maybe there's some questions that I didn't ask that we need to ask. But either way, the difference, I believe, is exposing something. The focus on our own health versus the bulk of the population of the world who lives in the third world. In humility, value others above yourself. Of course, I could give lots of examples from our own country right here in the U.S. We don't need to look to the third world. In the county where Amy's mom lives, we were just there a couple weeks ago, and the number of deaths from drug overdoses far eclipsed the number of deaths from coronavirus. And you could go on and on. You could find all kinds of things. Is there a blind spot in us as believers of God of how we go about pursuing health for ourselves but don't take the same care for others? In humility, value others better than yourself. All right, number two, my second big overall question. Have we made an idol of self? Do what's right for me, no matter what the cost is to you. Turn on social media and you'll see a lot of rhetoric around that kind of thing. The idol of me, what's best for me, blind to what another person's needs might be. In this pandemic, we've seen all kinds of things just fluttering below the surface a little bit, but it points to a bigger issue. People with mental health issues. I've read numerous articles about how people who already have mental health issues, this has been a terrible, terrible season of time for them. Did we give proper and appropriate care to them before the coronavirus, or were we focused on self? Issues of domestic violence. Again, there's been a huge increase on issues of domestic violence. But here's the reality as I see it. You see, every single day, well, most days, maybe it's not been every day, most days I receive a text message or an email or some kinds of communication to me using words like suicidal, not safe, losing it, can't hang on. While at the same time, I'll receive communications that say, not my problem. Is this exposing something? An unhealthy focus on self, what's right for me, ignoring the one right next to me who might be in great despair. And again, this existed prior to the pandemic. The pandemic's exposing it. In humility, value others above yourself. Number three, have we made an idol of our wealth? We go to extraordinary measures to accumulate wealth, don't we? Then we use our wealth to protect our own health and well-being. We have all the best doctors and medicines, and we live in really nice homes. Well, it only takes a few dollars to make a difference in a place like Mozambique. A life can be saved there for $1 or $2. The UN predicts that because of the coronavirus pandemic, at least 100 million people will fall from poverty to extreme poverty during this pandemic, or as the result of this pandemic. Many of those will die of starvation. But here's the thing. Right before coronavirus, the UN announced that the world was on the verge of a global famine. That announcement came out before coronavirus had hit the news. The UN was saying that we were on the verge of a global famine. And now we're going to take at least 100 million people and push them into extreme poverty. Our systems will collapse. But while we will be reminded daily of the COVID death tally, those who die of starvation and poverty will die silently and uncounted. In humility, value others above yourself. Number four, have we made an idol of our privilege? I made a comment a couple of weeks ago with somebody, and they went, oh my gosh, that is so it. That is so spot on. And I've continued to make that comment several times recently. I was having a conversation with an African-American pastor friend of mine this week, and I used this comment, and he just about jumped out of his shoes. He's like, Tim, that is so it. He goes, you need to patent that phrase and write a book. And the phrase is this. This is a pandemic of privilege. It's a mild inconvenience for those of us who are still getting paid. Whereas a black man can't walk into a store with a mask on. Social distance rules and quarantines are being disproportionately enforced with force against minorities. Blacks are at greater risk of contracting and dying of the disease. Middle class and wealthy work from their comfortable homes and still receive paychecks, while minorities and the poor fall farther behind and into poverty. The difference is exposing something. We have a blind spot when we can insist that this pandemic treatment move forward while ignoring those who don't share our privilege. I talked to that African-American pastor, and he said, can you imagine the fear in the hearts of the young men in my church if the government mandates that they wear a mask when they go out into a store, into a public area? In humility, value others above yourself. Number five, have we made an idol of comfort? The kingdom only advances with faith and risk-taking. But the pandemic has exposed how much we love to be comfortable. Congregations throughout the country can now sit at home and take no responsibility for the service of the church and of the kingdom. Number six, have we made an idol of bad theology? We adjust our theology to the times rather than applying our theology to the times. Do you see that? We're taking our theology and we're changing it because of the times. Where our theology is supposed to be steadfast, and then we apply the theology to the times. In good times, we say, all the days for me were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But in times like this, suddenly we all believe that our life is in our own hands. That's a change in theology brought about by the change of the times. I used to have a theology professor, Dr. Bruce Fields. He would hold up his Bible in one hand and he would hold up a newspaper in the other. And he would say, we form our theology from Scripture. And then we use the Scriptures and the theology to inform the situations of our time, meaning the newspaper. But we can never take the situations of our time and cause it to affect our theology and our scripture. But that's exactly what's happening in our day. Now, it didn't start to happen when coronavirus came about. It's been happening. We have not adhered ourselves to sound theology and biblical doctrine. And so with every new news story that comes out, we adjust our theology to meet it. Number 7, have we made an idol of being right, of our own opinion? If you don't believe me, turn on any social media. Don't violate what I already believe with the truth or an alternate perspective, we would say. We've lost the ability to discuss and reason. If you disagree with someone, you're labeled a troll. We've lost the ability to hold things in tension. Yet that's a kingdom principle. Alana and I are going to come back and discuss this idea of holding things in tension this week in our podcast. But you see, if you can't hold things in tension, then you're at odds with the God of mystery. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool delights in airing his own opinion." And we have taken that to an idolatrous level. And again, the proof is in the pudding. It's easy to see. Just go on any social media, and the way people are posting stuff as if it were absolute God-spoken truth. And if you say anything against them, you're a troll. That, my friends, is idolatry. Number 8, have we made an idol of our rights? In America, we've reached the place where it is rights before faith. We've confused our patriotism with our faith. And if you've been around me and in this church for any length of time, I say that all the time. That's not new. I've been saying that for decades. We've confused our patriotism with our faith. You see, I serve at the pleasure of my King, King Jesus. I serve at the pleasure of King Jesus. I have no earthly rights but those given to me by Jesus. My earthly rights fall under my service to the King. I don't need to protest, and I don't need to go online and rant and rave about how my American rights are being violated. I serve King Jesus. And my rights come from Him. And when I put my patriotism in front of my faith, I have an idol. Number 9, have we made an idol of our fear? Again, this was happening before the pandemic. But when we take our eyes off of God and His guidance and allow our fear to guide us, we have an idol, or at best a blind spot. You see, when we live from fear, it's hard to hear from God. When we live from fear, it's hard to be obedient to what God is directing me to do. So I can have no place for fear in my life if I want to hear from God and be obedient to step into what He's doing. And I'm afraid that because we have allowed fear to become an idol for so long, now in the midst of this pandemic, we're losing sight of God and who He is and what He's calling us as His believers to be about. We must dispatch with this idol of fear. Number 10, have we made an idol of science? Have we put more trust in a scientist than we have in God? Even though for every scientific point of view, there is a contrary point of view with scientific evidence to support it. Throughout this coronavirus, I, of course, have read hundreds of articles, medical journals, interviews about this issue. And it's become rather disturbing, quite honestly. How you will see a scientist make a case for A. We absolutely, positively must do A, or thousands of people will die. And he has his supporting evidence. And then there's a scientist over here that says, no, we must absolutely, positively do B or thousands of people will die. And he has his supporting evidence. And when you read both of them, if you have a scientific mind, my original degree was in biology, I can understand science, you realize that both sides are a little shaky on good scientific principle, scientific methodology. And yet I see people blindly putting faith in A and in B. And the answer is G, God. Have we made an idol of how we are receiving science in this age? And I'm not disparaging against science. Science is good. And we need scientists. And God imparts the wisdom into scientists. I'm talking about how we receive and put faith into science versus into what God is doing. Have we made an idol of life? Have we made an idol of life? This pandemic has brought to light that Christians don't know God very well. They're afraid of God, and they're afraid to die. We don't need to have a death wish. I'm not saying that. But it's never too early to become comfortable with death. It happens to everyone, and you never know when it will happen. Philippians 1:21 says this, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul was in prison, and he was unsure of his future. He was pretty sure he was going to die, but he had gotten to this place where he was comfortable with death. And I think this pandemic has exposed a blind spot or an idol of life itself. And again, I'm not saying we have to have a death wish or not be concerned. I'm saying it's a good time for us to become comfortable with the idea of death. Because it's happening all around us, not just from coronavirus, but do we know who God is? Are we comfortable with where we're going to go when we die? Do we understand that's a part of how God created things, and I need to be comfortable with this idea that I might die? Not today, not tomorrow, maybe even 30 years from now, but can I be comfortable with that? And finally, my last one, number 12. Have we made an idol of control? There is nothing about this pandemic that we can control, which is now triggering our need to control, right? I've even seen people try to control how others respond. Oh, no, you have to do this. Oh, no, you have to do this. It comes back to this idea of being able to hold things in tension. For me personally, I love to make sure that we have a good Sunday experience on a Sunday morning. And we've yet to be able to accomplish that online. Our online experience and our technology is kind of a hot mess, which is triggering my control issues because I'm unable to produce a good online experience. So have we made an idol of control? And again, this existed before the pandemic. So now let me wrap up with this. How can we take steps? What are our next steps? What can we do to try to deal with some of this? Well, we can't fix all of the problems, right? These problems are huge and very real. Let me put them up here for you. But there are some things that we can do to begin to expose our blind spots and our idols so that we can begin to have 2020 vision, so that we can begin to start to see things a little bit better this year. So, number one, ask the Lord to show you where your blind spots are. We all have them. No one's free from this. No one can say, well, I don't have any blind spots. Or Scripture says if you deny that you have sin, you're a fool. So just ask the Lord, where are my blind spots? Where are my idols? Where have I trusted in something more than I'm trusting you? And some of these blind spots are causing our fear. Some of these blind spots are causing us to lose our peace and become very anxious. And so ask the Lord, in his mercy and his grace, he will show them to you and he will be gentle. But as this happens, as he exposes the blind spots, we'll actually find that it brings about peace, the anxiousness will subdue, and the fear will subdue. Amen? Number two, support and get involved with our missions efforts. Much of my initial few points were talking about how we seem to be so focused on our own health, but there are such serious health issues in the third world. Well, guess what? We're actively involved in the third world. And so support our missions efforts. Get involved. Pay attention to the updates. Support financially if you're able. Pray for them. But become more actively involved in our third world missions efforts. We're through the organization Equip Mozambique, which we now as a church have adopted and brought in. They're working on some great scientific stuff. I hope to send out some emails related to that stuff. John has come up with just a brilliant way to help the Mozambicans prevent the spread of coronavirus. It's just phenomenal. And we get to be a part of that, and we get to support that. Number three, deliberately make friends from other cultures. Again, one of the blind spots I believe that this pandemic is exposing is how we've not treated each other respectfully and with the image of God. Like I had mentioned earlier, I called an African friend of mine, a pastor this week, but I called several. I called a number of pastors who are minorities in pastor minority churches or mixed churches. We need to do this. We need to be more deliberate about this. Make friends across cultures and then listen to what they have to say. How are they being affected by this? How are they being affected by this differently than we are? And what can we do to stand together in unity? It's not always easy. And sometimes you might take an arrow for it. But we need to stand with our brothers and sisters of every nation and every tribe and every tongue. It's fundamental to the vision of this church, the Crystal Lake Vineyard. We're all about the nations. And so we need to make friends deliberately now in our own communities as we're in this pandemic to help them survive healthy and well. Number four, listen well. Listen well to those around you who might be suffering differently. That's the thing that's really shocked me in this pandemic is there's been such a notion that we're all in it the same way. But we're not. We're all in it, but we're in it in different ways. We're affected by this very differently. And for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we need to understand how it's affecting us differently. Listen well. Listen well to the people around you. Don't force your own agenda on them. Don't force what you believe on them. Spend the bulk of your time listening. This is how we prevent something from becoming idolatrous, is when we listen well to an opposing voice or just a voice that's struggling with pain and receiving this differently than we are. So please, listen, listen well. Listen well to God. Our collective fear as the church is getting in the way of listening to God and then therefore obeying God. God is speaking, but there's so much collective fear that we're having a hard time hearing. So allow God to expose your idols and your blind spots, which will diminish the anxiousness and the fear, which will then help us listen better to the Lord and be obedient to what he's asking us to do. Number five, learn to walk in tension. And again, we're going to come back and deal with this in a podcast this week, hopefully, Lord willing. I'm going to make a bold statement. You're not as right as you think you are. But it's a kingdom principle to walk in tension. It's a kingdom principle to be able to take opposing things and hold them before the Lord. And not lose our mind. And not get anxious and not get fearful. I can listen to the scientists, I can listen to them talk about A, and I can listen to them talk about B, and I can take them both, and I can hold them before the Lord in tension. If we can't walk in tension, we're at odds with the God of mystery. Number six, read more widely to gain broader perspective. Read people you disagree with. When you reinforce what you already believe and think, is when it slides into idolatry. I'm right. You can't possibly be right. See ya. We need to read people who disagree with us, whether it's politically, scientifically, theologically, because it sharpens our own thinking. It forces us to take what we believe back to the scriptures to hone our theology and to hone what we believe. That's what I loved about the seminary that I went to. They taught critical thinking and how you can read opposing worldviews, you can read opposing theologies, but then hold it in tension, and then run back to God, run back to the scriptures, and refine and hone your thinking. And every now and then, you're going to be like, whoa, wait a minute. I have a blind spot there. I wasn't seeing this from a broader perspective. I have had a great delight over the last few years reading African theologians and how African theologians have a very different worldview that they bring to Scripture, but it helps us bring our theology back into a place where it more correctly represents the God of every nation. And so I encourage you to read widely, broaden your perspective, and to think critically. It helps us prevent, it prevents us from building idols and having blind spots. Amen? And finally, number 7, and maybe the most important of all, take a more pastoral approach to this time that we live in. We need to do a better job of caring for people. That's kind of what this whole message was about. Our blind spots are preventing us from caring for other people well. So take a very pastoral approach to the times that we live in. And remember, as the people of God, we have to look out for others, as Paul said, above ourselves. I want to end with this quote. I watched a video a couple of weeks ago now. Aaron had sent me this video and wanted my perspective on it. And in the video, the man talked about how he had gone to Australia for a missions trip. And when he first got there, when he first talked to the man in charge, the man that was organizing this missions trip, the man said this to him: "If you have come here to help us, you can go. But if you believe that our healing is bound up with, if your healing is bound up with ours, then let's journey together. If you have come here to help us, you can go. But if you believe that your healing is bound up with ours, then let's journey together." That's a good word. Remember, God is giving us something better. As he exposes blind spots, as he exposes idols, he's doing it so that we can have the clear vision, the 2020 vision that has been talked about for this year. But he's doing it so that we can walk in freedom, freedom from the fear and the anxiousness and all of the turmoil that we're feeling. Because it's not the coronavirus that's causing us to be fearful and anxious. It's that we've had a blind spot or something that we put in front of God. Because once we're back to being fully focused on Jesus, even coronavirus can't make us fearful or anxious. God is inviting us into a place of peace, again, as we allow him to readjust our vision and take away the cataracts so that he can give us 2020 vision. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Amen.